Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just wanted to start with a short testimony. I was very glad that our brother shared about the matter of Babylon, because although it's not a pleasant topic, it is in the Word, and the Word is truth.
Yes. Amen.
When I went to Germany, we visited a couple of cathedrals after the conference, and on the door of one of them, it had a notice to the visitors. And first, it quoted a verse from the Psalms. It said, "The Lord is in his holy temple." And then the very next line was, "May all be silent in his house." And I was really taken aback and just shocked by this, because what about all the other verses in the Psalms that say, "Cry aloud, shout aloud to the Lord your God.
Make a joyful noise.
And make a joyful noise unto the Lord." There's so many other verses, but it said, "May all be silent in his house." That is the type of hypocrisy, the mixture of Satan has brought in. And that's why it's Babylon. It's a place of confusion.
Amen.
And, oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
That was one of the things that I couldn't forget so easily. And it gave me a great motivation to take up the Lord's cry, which is, "Come out of her, my people."
Yes. Amen.
This is really on the Lord's heart, that he loves his people,
yes,
but he hates the system. And we also need to hate that system of Babylon, because it is full of confusion, and it is it's a prison, like it was shared.
Yeah.
And our commission from the Lord is just to share to his people in such a simple way that they would share the word with them. What does it say about Babylon? And then trust and pray that the Lord will open their eyes.
Amen.
Oh Lord, may the Lord bring many more out of the system and into his kingdom.
Amen.
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 And now to continue with the word, the next church is in Revelation chapter 3, and it's the church in Sardis.
Amen.
And this is actually historically the next in the progression, or however you want to say it, of degradation of the churches. And this one is actually, I would say, a step up, because it's when the Lord started, or it's during the Reformation period. This is where the Lord started to reveal many truths. And yes, let's just read the verses.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's read verses 1 and 2, Revelation chapter 3. "And
to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but that you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God."
Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. So, after hearing such a wonderful word in the conference, do we all want to be first fruits?
Yes.
Yep.
Amen. Me too. Are we willing to be perfected? That is the real question.
Yes.
Yes, Lord Jesus, perfect us. Amen. Then we need to learn from the church in Sardis, because the Lord did not find their works perfect before God. Because they stopped at a certain point and they refused to go on. That was the problem there. Martin Luther, when he, had his articles that he posted on the door of the cathedral way back a long time ago, he saw the truth concerning justification by faith, not by works.
Right.
That was really good. He saw that.
Yes.
But then the problem is he stopped there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord Jesus, what about baptism? Mm-hmm. He didn't go on to see that or anything else.
Right.
He kept so many traditions of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
He was complacent. Lord Jesus.
Right.
Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to realize that we're in danger of doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord can show us so many wonderful things in this conference, but then if we don't apply the word, then how do we go on? How are we supposed to go on? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We see something new and then we stop right dead in our tracks. And dead in our tracks is a good expression because that's exactly what will happen. That's what will occur is death. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Over the years, our God has already revealed so much to us in his word and in our experience of Christ and the church. You know, we've seen Christ as our wonderful Savior who is loving and full of mercy. And he's the one who died for us and washed away our sins. That's really wonderful. But then, is that where we stop? Oh, Lord Jesus. I don't want to stop there. I want to be one who is willing to know and experience him as my glorious King.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. We have seen the church as the bride of Christ. And also as the temple of God. But is that where we stop? What about the kingdom? We've seen so much about the kingdom.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, are we willing to press on to experience the kingdom in his church here today? Oh, Lord. Or are we going to just remain in our traditions? Our traditions, just the things that we do week after week. Are we going to remain in those traditions until the Lord comes back? That is what God hates. And this is also why Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected,
Amen.
But I press on."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need to seriously consider, are we willing to go on all the way to be perfected? Are we ready to let the Lord reveal to us his kingdom and go onward and upward in our experience of him? Lord Jesus. We need to strengthen the things which remain and press on toward the goal.
Amen.
Amen.
That's really the essence of being a first fruit, to be continuously perfected all the time.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord. Yeah, and that's really the matter of the church in Sardis. We don't want to remain complacent right. in our old traditions, but we need to press onward with
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And that now brings us to the church in Philadelphia. This is really the church that you can tell the Lord is well pleased with.
Yes.
And historically, that is where the Lord finally, through a group of brothers that saw in the Word the church, he recovered the proper church life.
Yes.
Right.
And, yes, let's read about the church in Philadelphia.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Amen. Let's read this together.
Amen.
I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth.
Amen.
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 And the main burden here, what the Lord loves those who keep his word.
Amen.
Or his commandments.
Amen.
And the Lord is the King, and when he gives us a command, what should we do? Just ignore it? We obey it.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. As his people, our constitution, as was shared, is the word of God. So then why don't we keep his commandments? You know, many of us are law-abiding citizens. We live in the United States. We have the Constitution. Most of us abide by most of the rules. But then when it comes to the Word of God, what happens? Oh, this one is, what happens is we obey the ones that are convenient to us. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes. Why then do we not keep his commandments? We only obey him with the convenient ones. Are we building the church that satisfies the King's specifications?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it applies to us here in the church today.
Right.
Lord Jesus. Or are we only doing what is right in man's eyes, because that's where you will get a system of Babylon. You will get the works of the Nicolaitans. And all of these things will enter in if we do things that are only right in our own eyes. We need to ask our King, Lord, what is it that you want us to do here in the church?
Amen.
How do you want your church to be built?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
I want to be one who's confident that we are building what will satisfy God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of people may say, or we might even say, it is enough to simply love God. You love God, don't you, Sina? Yes? Amen, me too. But then what does it say in John chapter 14, verse 15? It says, very simple, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
This is the type of love that God expects from us. Not just to sit passively every single Sunday and adore him just passively like so many Christians do. And also in 1 John chapter 5, it is written, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments.
Amen.
And his commandments are not burdensome.
Yeah.
They're not even burdensome. So what's so hard about keeping them? Lord Jesus. As we read in Revelation earlier in the conference, the main characteristic of a first fruit is one who follows the Lamb wherever he goes. How do we follow the Lamb? How do we follow the Lamb, Freddie? By keeping his word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We need to know what the Lamb is doing. We can't just assume what he's doing. We need to know what he's doing.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He is building his church, which is God's kingdom.
Amen.
And how do we build God's kingdom? By following the command of our King.
Yeah.
Are we building the church according to his word? We need to ask ourselves this every day.
Yeah.
Lord, is what we are doing here in the church, is it according to your word?
Amen.
And we need to know the word very intimately, according to the Spirit.
Yeah.
May we also be those who keep his command to persevere.
Amen.
Lord
right.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good that what Vince brought out in this matter of the church in Philadelphia. There's so many things that the Lord has against the church. And there's so many things that we have seen up to this point of what he hates. And when you get to the church in Philadelphia, the outstanding characteristic and why the Lord loves the church in Philadelphia is, even though they had a little strength, they were the ones who kept his word and did not deny his name. Right? This matter of the keeping of his word is so important. I think by the end of this conference, you realize that everything we're speaking about is in the word of God. And everything that we are doing is according to the word of God. This is the only way. Right? This is the matter of following the command of the King. And when you look at the history of the church for the last 2,000 years, to see the degradation and then the beginning of the recovery during the Reformation, in the end, these days, now that you have the church of Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia, where you have a group of Christians who are faithful to the word, to keeping it and to persevere, now, do you think this church still has something to overcome? And this is why I appreciated the verse 11 of chapter 3. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Okay. So even though we may now have come to the point of Philadelphia, there is still a danger. That's why Vincent said it's not just to keep his word, but to persevere. That means we have to continue in his word. Because the Lord, yes, when the church gets to this point, the Lord will come quickly. But still, there's a danger. It says, hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown.
Amen.
Meaning there is still the possibility that you could be in the church today, and someone will take your crown from you. It doesn't take much. It could be a lot of different things. The distraction in the world. The worst situation is to be, you're at the end of the race and you see the finish line, you can taste it, and at the very end, something happens and it distracts us. And then we don't reach the goal. Don't let anyone take your crown. And this is still a warning for the church in Philadelphia. This is the church that God loves. But this is still a warning to us. So why? Why is it that we have to be worried? Is because there's still one more church that the Lord wrote about. And this is the matter of the church in Laodicea. And so with the church in Laodicea, let's read verse 14 through 17 together.
And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Amen. So, this is the condition of the last church written here in chapter 3. And the condition of the church is that they are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. And I don't know if you realize this, the Lord said neither hot nor cold 3 times. What is our attitude today in the church? Are we neither cold nor hot? Are we lukewarm? And this is the danger we all face. You know, when you arrive at a certain point, like during the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther saw the matter of justification by faith. Hallelujah, we arrived. That's good enough. And then that was it. And with each level, whether it's the Baptist, whether it's Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Protestant, and all of these things, and even with the brethren, because these were the brothers who began to recover the matter of the oneness of the church, they all kind of arrived at a spot, and then that was good enough. And now, here with the church in Laodicea, why are they lukewarm? You know, and the Lord is very clear about how he feels about the lukewarm church. He wants to vomit you out. It's not just spitting. I mean, spitting is just your saliva. But vomit is all the stuff that's in your stomach that comes out. That's how terrible. I mean, it's already been digested. It's in your intestines, and it comes all the way out. So I want to just, you have to be impressed with this. This is how much the Lord hates about a lukewarm church. We need to appreciate this because we don't realize. Do we realize we are lukewarm? Because it's in the next, in verse 17, it says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have no need of nothing. The danger we face today is we might feel like, hey, we're good. We're rich. Look, we just had a conference. See these three diagrams on the wall? We now have the roadmap. And we might feel like, yeah, we have more than any other Christian has. What other Christian group is talking about this? And because we are to that point, we might even feel like, hey, we heard it all. We have nothing else that we need. Be careful. Don't think that people cannot think this way. We have seen groups where they actually said, God has revealed to us the entire complete divine revelation. And all you need to do is read our books. This is the condition of Laodicea. And this is the danger that we face. Because after such a conference like that, you might come out of here and go, okay, now we know something and we have the world to tell about. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. We need to share this. But what is our attitude? What is our attitude? Do we feel like, okay, now we've seen it all? And that's it. Okay, now, but the part that really drives home is I have no need of anything. Right? The part that always hits me in the practical way is this. I know. I already know. And this is the danger that we face here in the church life. We may have heard this word, and many of us can testify, hey, we've heard a lot about the Lord's second coming. You know, we've had conferences of this in the past. We've had a lot of fellowship about this. There's so many things that we know already. I've had even some people share with me in the past. They said, John, what is the conference going to be about? And in essence, I would say, well, it's Christ and the church. And they said, well, we've already heard that. Wait a second. We've already heard that. Well, are we tired of that? I know. I already know that, Vince. You don't need to share that with me. I know. This is the danger. The minute we say, I know, we are already lukewarm. It's better not to say, I know. Because if we say, I know, then we are definitely lukewarm. Because we are now complacent to the Lord. I've been around the block. I already know this. I've been in the church. I grew up in the church life. My parents were in the church, and I was born into the church life. So I know. I know how the meetings are. I know how everything is. I know the Lord is coming back. And in this conference now, we know that he's coming back for his kingdom. So I know his kingdom is coming back. This is the danger that we are faced with, that we would say, I know. Of course, for some of us, this is fresh. This is new. But I hope it's not just for some of us. I hope this is fresh and new for all of us. I know for me, yes, the first time I saw this was in ninth grade. But I will tell you, every time we get into this matter, every time we speak about this matter, this is always new and fresh to me. Because the minute it becomes old and I say, I know, then I'm lukewarm. And there is no response on the inside to become hot for the Lord, to press on and to persevere like the church in Philadelphia. This is the danger we all face. Don't say that we know. Because the minute we say that, we don't realize that we are still wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Hey, I will be the first to tell you, as you grow older in age, and as you walk with the Lord more and more, I never feel like that I'm better or feel more transformed. Rather, I feel the opposite. I realize even the more I'm wicked and I'm wretched, and that I'm blind and I'm poor and I'm naked. because the Lord exposes even more things within me. The older you get, the more experience with the Lord that you have, the more you realize how terrible my heart is. It was in which verse? It says, my heart is incurably wicked.
Yeah, it's in Jeremiah.
You will not realize this until you're at least my age or older. And I'm a pretty old dude. So, but the point is... The point is, as we spend more time walking with the Lord, the more we begin to see how terrible our heart is. And this is what we don't realize. Because if we get into this mode of saying, I know. Yeah, I know. I know. Then this is the danger. And this is what the Lord hates. We are so close to the end. The Lord really wants to bring an end to this age. And the last thing he needs for his people to say is, I know. I know. No, we don't know. It's the Lord who knows. And it is the Lord who's showing us. And this is what we want to really bring out. You know, in these two chapters, yes, there is so much to get into. And I agree with Sam. This is definitely a conference in and of itself. And if the Lord leads us to have another short conference in the coming months, we can certainly get into the matter of the church, the condition of the church. Because this is actually the most critical aspect of being a first fruit. Because the first fruit sees what? They behold what? They behold the Lamb, but only the Lamb? No, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion today is the church. And if we do not see the church as part of the Lamb, because the Lamb is standing on the church, if we do not pay attention to this matter of the church, then we will definitely not be qualified for the first fruits. That is for sure. If today we do not care for Mount Zion in the church, then how could we be qualified to stand at the throne in Mount Zion? Hey, I don't care how the church is. The church can be anything. As long as you love God, that's good enough. You have a group of people who loves God, that's good enough. Is it? As Vince already shared, if we say we love God, then we should keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments is not a subset. Meaning, okay, I will love God, so I'll keep his commandments to love my neighbor and not to get angry and not to do so many things in my daily life. But who does the Lord love the most? What does he love the most?
The church.
That's why it's Christ standing upon Mount Zion. If Christ loves the church so much, wouldn't we want to care for the church in the same way Christ cares for the church?
Amen.
And then this means we have to really get back into the Word and ask the Lord, Lord, how is it that you want to build your church?
Yes. Amen.
Because I don't want to build the church that is not well pleasing to you. And that's why in verse 18, eventually, it's written, I counsel you to buy from me gold. Here again, you see two things that we talked about earlier. Buy from me. Last night, Jake talked about buying the oil.
Yeah,
I mean, we have to pay a price to buy the oil last night for life. But now, for life is for our individual walk. But now we also need to buy gold for the building of the church. Right, this is, again, last night, it was briefly mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, that you would build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. You have to realize today, when we are in as the church building, you never stop building. You're always building. The question is, are we building with wood, hay, and straw? Or are we building with gold, silver, and precious stone? Don't think that we all have taken a break from building. We don't take a break from building. We are constantly building. Whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're at school, whether we are here in the meetings, we are always building. And the question is, with what material do we build with? So the gold is not something that you can acquire for free. A free gift of God. God gives that to us. But with the gold, it requires us to pay a price.
Yes.
And so for the building up of the church, when you look at the last 2,000 years, what did man build with the church? There is another chart that we didn't print to put up on the board. And it actually shows us the timeline of how the church is degraded and how the church is being recovered and how the church will eventually reach that goal that we see there. It actually looks similar to that, except the stair steps go down more than going up. But the point is, the church, how was the church built? And how is the church being built today? The gold. And then it says that you may be rich and white garments. Now, do you remember, what are we going to be clothed with in the wedding feast? Revelation, chapter 19. Verse 9, it says, so verse 8 says, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So as the church, are we going to be clothed in fine linen, arrayed in white? Well, okay, now where are we going to get that fine linen that is white? Where are we going to find that white garment? Do we go down to the local school, Kohl's, or what store and buy ourselves a white clothes and put it on us? No. Who is the fine linen? Who is righteousness? This is Christ. That's why in Ephesians, it's important to see in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. Put off the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you are put on, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You imagine, as Sam was describing all the terrible things of the degradation of the church, what was the garment being put on the people? Not white, definitely not. It was not fine. It was not the righteous acts of the saints. It was the old man that was being put on. And this is why the church eventually sank down to the pits in the darkest age, the Middle Age. What you saw was not the white garments. You saw the old man corrupt. Right? But even in the recovery of the church, there's still a lot of the old man there. And we need to ask the Lord to get rid of that. So this is also important, that we learn to put on Christ. You know, this weekend I had a chance to talk to two young men who were raised Catholic. And they both told me they were baptized when they were a baby. And as we got into the Word, they both realized, so maybe that sprinkling of the water really didn't count. At least the Word was spoken to them. And we pray that the Word would change their hearts, amen, open their eyes to see that they need to enter into the reality of baptism.
Amen.
But because baptism is so much, you know, Sherlyn, when you were baptized, you put on Christ.
Amen.
So it's not that we see all your faults anymore, but we see Christ on you. And this is the Christ that we all should be wearing every single day.
Amen.
And if the church is wearing that, then that is the fine linen that the church will see.
Yes.
And then anoint our eyes with eye salve. So our heart needs to be dealt with.
Amen.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Amen.
Lord, our eyes, our spiritual eyes need to be open. And this is the key. Right? So may the Lord really begin to open our eyes to see concerning the church.
Amen.
Right? These seven letters to the epistles, these seven epistles to the seven churches, they're not only a prophetic warning the prophecy of how the church would develop in these 2,000 years, but it is our insight. It is what God sees,
yeah,
how we should be today as the church.
Amen.
And in the last days, right, we are so close. We are so close to this point. The question is, not only as an individual we would be first fruits, but as the church today, are we willing to do this? Are we willing to obey the Lord as our King to build up His church?
Amen.
Because really, the church in Philadelphia is the one that kept His word.
Yeah.
Not just some of it, but all of it. Mm-hmm. And this is the critical factor. And, you know, the rewards,
yeah,
with Philadelphia, it says, right, let no one take away your crown.
Yes.
Okay, so it's an active exercise because the enemy is trying to keep that away from you. But when you go on here, verse 19, it says, as many as I love, I what? What does it say? Verse 19. Right. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is God. God loves. Funny, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Yes.
Well, but this is the word of God. He loves us. And even in the last part, the church in Laodicea, He wants to chasten us and to rebuke us. Rebuke and chasten us. Why? Because He loves us so that we can repent.
Amen.
Be zealous and repent. Meaning to be hot again for the Lord. Hot for the burning, for the building up of the church. This is what the Lord wants us. And this is why the word is not so pleasant. Like Sam said, he didn't like to give such a hard word. But as a parent, we have to for our children, for the sake of our children. So in the same way as the Lord, He cares for us so much that He has to warn us. And He has to speak the tough words.
Amen.
So actually, it's when we speak this word, yes, it's not pleasant, but we speak it out of love.
Yeah.
I always tell my kids, the minute I stop talking to you is the minute I stop loving you. I love my children, so I will continue to speak to them.
Amen.
God loves us. The minute He stops talking to us, then we better have a big question mark. What is my relationship with the Lord? And this is why, ultimately, in verse, if you go back to Psalm 127, we had this in the Songs of Ascent. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. The real question today is, are we building the church together with the Lord? Because if we're doing something and the Lord is not building, then we labor in vain. And we have to ask ourselves, are we confident that what we are doing is what the Lord wants?
Yes.
I'll be the first to say, every day I have to ask the Lord, Lord, are you building? Because if I don't ask the Lord, are you building? Then hey, then we might, not today, but 5 years down the line, miss the mark. It only needs a little bit. Right? When you travel a long distance, if you're off by even a half a degree, you will miss your mark by hundreds and not thousands of miles. And we have to ask the Lord, Lord, are we building today? And if we are faithful, and this is the best reward at the very end.
Yes.
Verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne.
Amen.
And I will also overcome and sat, and I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Right? And this is the goal, ultimately. Right? If we overcome, if we are all willing to say, Lord, I want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes.
Amen.
As the church, not just individually now, but as the church, this is what the Lord wants.
Amen.
To bring us to the end.
Yes.
So this is the church today. Where are we today? We have to ask ourselves before the Lord. Really pray and seek the Lord out. Lord, are we doing? What are we doing? Are we doing what you want us to do? Even for the matter of the building up of the church.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for this time. We thank the Lord for all of his speaking. It's not just about them knowing the prophecies of when Christ will come, but it's to really know what is on the Lord's heart. To bring his kingdom on this earth. And his kingdom has a king. It's Jesus Christ as our king. And his kingdom is his church. And we are his church today.
Amen.
So may we all together make it to the goal.
Amen.
To help the Lord bring down this earth, to this earth, his kingdom quickly.
Amen.
And the last thing I will leave with you is the matter of the prayer. Not only we prayed in Matthew 6, but there's one prayer that I would challenge you to pray also. It is in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, starting in the middle, what manner of persons? And then verse 12, we can end with the word God. Let's start there, okay? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Okay. Today we realize the world is ripened. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for his church. He's waiting for the first fruits to mature.
Yes. Right.
And if we pray in this way, Lord, today, I want to hasten your return.
Amen.
Pray in this way. I tell you, it will start changing your way of thinking because you will want to hasten the return.
Amen.
And when you start making decisions, and right away this prayer comes, is this going to help hasten the return of the Lord?
Amen.
Right, so may we also pray, Lord, come back quickly.
Amen.
May your kingdom come quickly.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.